What's up, smarty people? It's Keys Dan with RadioWhat.com, DJLittleRock.com, coming to you live in a living color from the Radio What Studios, and this is my podcast, What Makes You Smarter? It's an extension of the RadioWhat.com internet radio station that I've been running for quite some time. And if you need DJ services, where do I always send you? DJLittleRock.com. One more time, DJLittleRock.com. Check availability and get a free price quote, and maybe you could have me at your next event. Also, if you'd like to tell your story or hear the stories of others, I encourage you to check out my other podcast. It's called What Makes You Famous. Find it everywhere using the hashtag What Makes You Famous. Like, subscribe, share, and comment. Do all that kind of thing. Now, on with the show. Today on the program, interesting facts. You know, I like some interesting facts. I like facts about stuff that's interesting, but I let you be the judge whether you decide if it's interesting or not. If you're watching the video version of this, you can see there's a picture of a nice lady. And I think it's a pretty famous lady. If you don't know by now, that's Whistler's mother, James McNeil Whistler, to be more precise. He painted his mother after the person he was supposed to paint didn't show up. A sidetracked teenager changed the course of history, art history, when she skipped an 1871 portrait sitting. James McNeil Whistler, born 1834, died 1903, a Massachusetts-born artist living in London, was commissioned to paint Maggie Graham, the 15-year-old daughter of a member of Parliament. Although James had prepared a canvas during his initial studio sessions with Graham, his creative process moved too slowly for her liking. When she failed to appear, James asked his mother, Anna McNeil Whistler, then living with him in London, to be his subject. Rather than intentionally crafting a tender maternal tribute, he was more of a proponent for art's sake. James focused on fine-tuning the saturation of select colors with arrangement in gray and black. Number one, portrait of the artist mother. Artistic circles adopted the shorthand arrangement in gray and black. Number one, while the public preferred Whistler's mother. Originally, the painting was somewhat divisive, receiving lackluster placement in the Royal Academy of Arts annual exhibition. But in 1891, the piece earned a place in history as the first artwork by an American to be bought by the French state via the Musée de Luxembourg. I know I pronounced that improperly. Forgive me. Pardonnez-moi. During the Great Depression, the painting gained popularity on a 13-city U.S. tour. 1 million people visited it in Chicago alone. Back in Paris, the painting continued to relocate, becoming the Louvre's first American painting in 1922, before the Musée d'Orsay's 1986 acquisition. Whistler's mother has been called the most important American work residing outside the United States. A little more tidbits of information for you, because I like you. I like you so much. Height and feet of a statue of Anna McNeil Whistler in Ashland, Pennsylvania. 8. Look that statue up. It's pretty cool. It's a rendering in bronze, or yeah, bronze, I think. It's one of a kind. It's in Pennsylvania, Ashland, Pennsylvania. Looks like a small town. Looks like a nice town to visit. But then in the middle of their courtyard, bam, there's a statue of Whistler's mother. How about that? Total area in square feet of arrangement in gray and black. Number one, 25. So that's a pretty big painting. 25 square feet of painting. Wow. Age and years of Anna McNeil Whistler when she sat for the painting, 67. Months it took Whistler to paint arrangement in gray and black. Number one, 3. No wonder that 15-year-old didn't want to sit for that painting. Here's a little more tidbits of information. It's tangential. James McNeil Whistler won a lawsuit against an art critic who panned one of his paintings. In the summer of 1877, the famed British critic John Ruskin, I don't know his name, I know Whistler's name, John Ruskin, encountered Whistler's Nocturne in Black and Gold, The Falling Rocket, at London's Grosvenor, G-R-O-S-V-E-N-O-R, Grosvenor Gallery. The oil painting was a lush, abstract vision of a fireworks show in Cremorne Gardens, overlooking the Thames River. That July, Ruskin, a painter himself, shared his opinion of the work in his periodical Force Glavigera. I have seen and heard much of Cockney impudence before now, but never expected to hear such a coxcomb ask 200 guineas for flinging a pot of paint in the public's face. Whistler, who was in serious debt, responded by suing Ruskin for libel. Excerpts from the two-day trial found their way into Whistler's 1890 book, The Gentle Art of Making Enemies. Despite emerging victorious, Whistler received far less than the £1,000 and court costs he requested. Just a single farthing, the smallest coin denomination, worth 1/48th of a shilling. The lawsuit plunged Whistler further into bankruptcy, yet he kept the farthing on his watch chain for the rest of his life. Nocturne in Black and Gold, The Falling Rocket, now belongs to the Detroit Institute of Arts. How about that? Whistler's mother almost never was. How about that? Thanks to a child who decided that, no, I don't want to sit for this painting. That's it for this edition of What Makes You Smarter. You know, I like me some facts. I like learning about history and learning about things. So if you'd like to learn as well, stick around for more. Like, subscribe, share, comment. Let me know what you think. Also, if you'd like to tell your story or hear the stories of others, I encourage you to check out my other podcast. It's called What Makes You Famous. Find it everywhere using the hashtag What Makes You Famous. That's it for me. It's Keys Dan, RadioWhat.com, DJLittleRock.com. Peace. I'm out of here.